What's up, Credit Junkies? It's Bruce Palotano here, and in this episode, I'm breaking down how to actually sell credit repair the right way. No fluff, no gimmicks, just real talk from someone in the trenches. I'm walking you through the full credit repair sales cycle and showing you how to stop leaving money on the table, so let's get into it.
Are you ready to revolutionize your credit repair business? Welcome to Credit Repair Junkies, the ultimate podcast for credit repair entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Bruce Palotano, seven-figure serial entrepreneur and author. Each week, we'll dive deep into battle-tested strategies, uncover the latest industry breakthroughs, and reveal insider tips that will put your business light years ahead of the competition. If you're ready to grow your credit repair business, head to creditrepairjunkies.com/go to watch my free training.
I want to talk to you guys about sales. There is a lot of talk recently about compliance when it comes to selling credit repair. But in reality, it's always been there. Nothing has changed from a year ago or 2 years ago. There's a lot of people who got turned off by the industry recently. So at Credit Repair Junkies, I work with literally over 1,000 credit repair businesses. We handle their entire back end. We handle all of their disputes. We handle their customer service. We handle their client onboarding. We handle all of that fully for these credit repair businesses, over 1,000 businesses that work with us. But we also train and teach a lot of people how to come into the credit repair space and start their own business and grow their business to, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, even hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in our coaching program that we have at Credit Repair Junkies. So this information that I'm coming to you guys with is not just as a credit repair business owner myself. It's also from actively working with over 1,000 other credit repair businesses. So I'm very deeply plugged in to the credit repair industry. I know exactly what's going on, when it's going on, why it's going on, and I can speak from actual experience. Now, back to the compliance thing. The one thing about credit repair, and if you want to be compliant, is very simple. Just don't guarantee anything. If you stay away from guaranteeing things and making false claims, you're good, which you don't want to do that. None of us want to be out here scamming people out of their hard-earned money. That's why we fit so well, right? That's why Rico is a genius, right? And we kind of like got together and we were like, man, we are aligned. Like our missions are aligned. We want the same thing. We want to help as many people as we possibly could improve their financial future, right? And if we're out here lying to people, cheating people, scamming people, then we're not doing that. Right? We're not following the mission that we set out to follow, to accomplish in the first place. So when it comes to compliance, if I had to put like a lid on it, it would be very simple. Don't promise things that you can't control, right? And don't make claims that you can't prove to be true. For example, yes, Mr. Customer, we can get that repossession off in 30 days. If the bureaus don't respond, it has to come off and we guarantee it's going to come off your credit report. Like, you don't know that. So don't say that, right? You can't say, pay me a bunch of money up front and, you know, we'll make sure that your credit is taken care of. Don't do that because you're not allowed to charge up front. There's so many different scenarios. So just be honest. Hey, we're here. We have strategies that are proven to help customers in your situation in the past. We're going to do everything we absolutely could do to help you. And that's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. I want to talk to you guys about an actual credit repair sale. What does that look like? How can you confidently go into a credit repair sale knowing that you don't have to look over your shoulder and think, am I doing something wrong? Should I be saying this? Can I say this? It's actually more simple than you can ever imagine, right? So before we jump into actual credit repair sales, I want to go through like a quick kind of 30,000 foot view of what's called a sales cycle or a buying cycle. And this applies to any sale. Right. So I'm going to give you guys some nuggets here that applies to any product, any service that you're selling. It's not only done for you credit repair, but any sale. So there's something called a sales cycle, or it could also be called a buying cycle. Okay. Now, this is a concept that I learned by my own personal mentor and business coach, Ty Crandall. I don't know if you guys know who Ty Crandall is, but he's the owner of Credit Suite. I've known Ty for, gosh, almost 15 years now. And every month I get coached by him. Why? Because he's further ahead than I am in business. He's learned things that I have yet to learn, and he's paving the path, right? Because that's what a good coach, a good mentor does, is they hold you by the hand and they help you continue to grow without you having to fall on your face and get back up over and over again, right? Unnecessarily so. So Ty Crandall taught me this years ago. Okay. And it's the concept of the sales cycle or the buying cycle. And I'm going to break down each one of these steps that you guys see here on your screen. But the main focus here is that businesses who only focus on leads who are in the purchase stage of the buying cycle, right? There's five stages in the buying cycle, but the businesses who are only focusing on the people who are in the purchase stage of the buying cycle, they grow extremely slow, or they barely experience any growth at all. Why? Because by the time they find a new lead who's in that purchase stage of the buying cycle, one of their older clients has already canceled. So in essence, all they're doing is they're trading six for half a dozen, right? If you lose one and you add one, you're still where you were before, right? So they're in the same spot that they were before that. And most businesses, they completely ignore the multitude of leads who are sitting in the awareness and research stages. Those are the people, those are the leads that nobody wants. Right. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but nobody wants the leads that are not ready to buy yet. Right. Everybody just wants, I want the people who will pay now. I want the people who are ready to make a decision now. Well, those businesses, they grow a lot slower, or sometimes not even at all, because that's all the people they're focusing on, the people who are ready to buy now. And the multitude of people in the other stages, the awareness and research stage, they completely ignore them because like, oh, they're tire kickers. They're not really serious, right? So the number one secret to growing your business fast is to capture and keep everyone that's in the awareness and research stages. And then you nurture them into the intent, purchase, and advocacy stage. Let me say that again. The number one secret to growing your business fast is for you to capture everyone that's in those previous stages, the awareness and research stages. And now that you've captured them, you nurture them. You nurture them and you keep them in your ecosystem until they are ready to go into the intent and purchase and advocacy stages of the buying cycle. Because now, instead of you focusing on only this one small group of people who are the people who are in the purchase stage, you are now focusing on the entire pool of people who are in all the previous stages as well. Do you see how much more chances and opportunity you will have at getting customers? Because now, not only do you have the potential to close the people who are in the purchase stage, you also have the potential of closing everybody who was in the awareness stage, who was in the research stage, who was in the intent stage. And your job is to walk them through and nurture them while they're going through this process, while they're going through this cycle. So right now, if you're only focusing on the people in the purchase stage, let me tell you, my friend, you are leaving a bunch of money on the table. So let's talk about what are all of these stages and who are the people in these stages. Okay. So the very first stage, there's five stages in this sales cycle or buying cycle. The first stage is what's called the awareness stage. Okay. This is where people become aware that they need something or that they have a problem, right? Like, for example, right now, I'm aware that I need to go to the barbershop because my beard is looking crazy. Like, it's growing to the size where it shouldn't be growing. I need to shave my head because it started growing again. Like, I'm aware that I need a haircut, right? That I need to go to the barbershop. Does it mean that I'm going to get up, jump in my car, drive to the barbershop and get a haircut right now? No, it doesn't, because I'm not ready to purchase right now. I'm simply aware of a problem. My beard looks crazy. My hair started growing. I'm supposed to be fully bald, but there's little hairs growing. My head looks shiny. I'm aware of this, but that doesn't mean that I'm ready to go to the barbershop right this second. Okay. So let's talk about credit repair, because that's what we're going to talk about today, is credit repair sales. Well, what does the awareness stage commonly look like? Well, let me give you a couple of examples. Here's one example. Suspect walks into the mortgage office, right? And they fill out a mortgage application and suspect gets denied because their credit score is a 420. Now they are aware that they have a problem. Holy crap, I have a low credit score, right? Or they walk into a dealership and they laugh him out of that dealership. Why? Because, man, you can't buy anything with your 420 credit score, right? So what happens is now the customer's aware, because maybe they didn't know that they had a 420 credit score. They're like, yeah, you know, I work, I got money saved. I know that to buy a house, I need to have a stable job and then a down payment. So yeah, I'm ready to buy a house. And then they go into the lender's office, they fill out that mortgage application, right? And then boom, the lender calls them up. Unfortunately, Mr. Suspect, your 420 credit score, there's not really any loan programs that I can help you with. So that's one way that somebody gets in the awareness stage, okay? Another way is ads, right? So you ever, I don't know if you guys ever taken a road trip, right? Most people have gone on a road trip before and you're driving down the highway or wherever it is that you're going. And all of a sudden you see one of those big things, right? And they're called billboards, right? And you didn't know you were hungry until you saw that billboard, right? With that juicy burger on it. And I was like, huh, holy crap, I'm hungry, right? Because you got triggered. Something made you aware of this, right? Most people who have bad credit, it isn't something that they go to sleep thinking about and wake up thinking about. Go to sleep thinking about, wake up thinking about. Like, there's a triggering moment that makes them aware of it, right? So you'll see tons of ads on Facebook of credit repair businesses trying to find their customers. Super smart, right? And for me, like, anytime I think of Facebook ads, I imagine somebody sitting on the toilet scrolling through their phones, right? Like, they're not thinking about their bad credit. They're sitting on a toilet. Next thing you know, bam, like something captures their attention, right? And it's like, oh yeah, my credit. Do you have less than perfect credit? Well, we'll give, and they see that ad sitting on a toilet and they're like, oh snap, I do have bad credit. But just because I'm aware of my bad credit sitting on a toilet doesn't mean I'm ready to pick up my phone and talk to you about my bad credit and how you can fix me. I'm simply aware of the situation. Does that make sense? So those are a couple examples of potential customers. Those are, imagine if dollars had feet and they walked around, right? Those are dollars that are just walking around the awareness stage right now. You don't know which direction they're going in. Your job is to capture them while they're in the awareness stage and nurture them, pave the path for them to go into the research stage, into the intent stage, into the purchase, and complete that buying cycle, right? So that's the awareness stage. I think we all understand, right? Based on the few examples that I've given, the awareness stage, people simply, okay, I'm aware I have a problem. That does not always mean that they're ready to do something about it now, okay? Some people, they will complete this entire cycle, awareness, research, intent, purchase, and advocacy within an hour. They'll go through the whole thing within an hour. Some people will take 6 months or a year to go through the whole thing. But guess what? Those people that take 6 months to a year, they wouldn't have gone with you when they were ready to purchase because you weren't the one that captured them when they were first made aware of it. Okay? So that's the awareness stage. Now, from the awareness stage, they go to the research stage. And this is true for, I don't care what you're buying, everybody goes through this psychological process. I'm aware, then I do research. So I'm aware that I need to go to the barbershop. Okay, well, now I need to do some research. I want to go right now. So let me research what barbershops are open on a Thursday at 8:19 p.m. Eastern. Okay, this one is open. This one has some reviews. I'm just researching, right? I'm looking for options, right? Doesn't mean I'm necessarily ready to go right now, right? Or you know what? I need a haircut. I need to go to the barbershop. I need to do some research of which barbershop do I want to go to. Doesn't mean I'm going to go today. Doesn't even mean I'm going to go tomorrow. I just know I need to go to the barbershop because maybe I got plans for the rest of the weekend and I can't make it there until next Tuesday. So I'm doing research of what barbershop am I going to go to. So let's talk about our credit clients, okay? Luckily for us, in my opinion, competition is a good thing, okay? There's a reason why there's a CVS across the street from every Walgreens, y'all. There's a reason why there's a Burger King across the street from every McDonald's. That's intentional. That's not by mistake, okay? It's intentional because that's the same audience. The same person who walks into CVS would also walk into Walgreens. So other people would be like, I'm not going to put my Walgreens next to that CVS. Are you crazy? Why would I do that? Like, I'm going to lose them. All my customers are going to go to see. No, 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 no. You're not thinking about it the right way. The foot traffic is there. What if one day I'm driving this way, so CVS is on my way, and the next day I'm driving this way, and Walgreens is on my way? Walgreens just got the business that used to go to CVS simply because they're now on the other way. There is a plethora of credit repair companies out there. So many, right? So clients can easily get lost in their research stage. This is why it is so important for you to capture them as soon as possible in the awareness stage. Because if you capture them in the awareness stage, you're going to nurture them into the other stages. So when your client starts thinking about doing research, who's in their inbox giving them tips and tactics every single week about, hey, I'm going to give you 30 tips to quickly increase your, improve your credit score over the next 30 days. Just make sure you open my emails, right? So that's an email nurturing campaign, for example. You're going to drop them in that email nurturing campaign, and once a week, they get an email from you, right? So now, let's say it's 4 weeks later, 5 weeks later, they are ready to do some research about who they're going to use to help them fix their credit. Where are they going to go first? To the person that's in their inbox giving them free game without asking them for a penny. They're going to go there first because you're the one that's investing. Look, can you make a withdrawal without making deposits first? No. You're going to overdraft. Like, there's nothing there. So before you can make a withdrawal, you have to make a deposit. Before you make a withdrawal, you have to make a deposit. How are you depositing into your leads, into your potential customers? Because you do expect to make a withdrawal, don't you? You can't make a withdrawal without first having some deposits in that. So how do you deposit into them? Well, you nurture them. You give them free game, right? Like, your best stuff needs to be free. Because if, like, man, if I'm getting this for free, what am I going to get when I pay? That's the psychology. That's the mindset that your leads need to have. So in the research stage, if you are the one that captured them when they're in the awareness stage, you are already in front of them, giving them the research that they didn't even know they were ready for yet. But now that they're ready to pay attention to the research, it's all in there. It's all in their inbox. Let's go, right? You think they're going to go to Google? Probably, right? Why not? Most people do. But they're in their inbox every day, right? Every day they're checking their emails. At least I do. Most people do, right? And every week they see this business opportunity. Make money from home. Every week they see this stuff. And then when they're finally ready to start a business, who are they going to think of? They're going to think of the person that's in their timeline always talking about start a business from home. They're going to think about that person that's always in their inbox talking about, I have an opportunity that can help you make some money from home. They're not going to go to Google. They already have the information at the tip of their fingertips, right? So the research is crucial because this is the first actionable step that a person makes towards buying something, okay? If you're anything like my wife, you do not buy anything from anywhere without first reading the what? The reviews. On Amazon, it's like, it's literally muscle memory. She clicks on a thing from Amazon straight to the little stars to go see everybody's pictures, everybody's text reviews, everybody's videos of the product. She don't even look at the price. She's looking at the reviews first, right? Because that's what you do in a research stage, right? You're researching. You're trying to figure out, do I want this? Is this for me? Is it going to work? And if you've been giving them game in their inbox, in their timeline, in your stories, when they are ready, they're going to do that. So when they're researching, what are they going to see? What are they going to find? More importantly, who are they going to see? Who are they going to find? That needs to be you, okay? Or else you're going to be like most businesses who are only focusing on that small pool of people who already went through all of this. The purchasers, right? The people who are ready to buy right now. You don't want to be like that. You want to capture everyone. It's a much bigger pool when there's everybody else they can go after instead of just these little group of people right here. So when somebody's in a research stage, that's the first step that they're making, that they're taking towards, man, I think I'm going to buy something. I'm thinking I'm going to do this, right? So let me give you another tip. You move into your brand new house, okay? And now you have an extra bedroom that you didn't have before. And you're aware they need to buy a bed and you need to buy a TV for this new bedroom that you never had before. You never had six bedrooms. You only have five. Now you have six. So you need to get a bed and furniture and a TV for this new six bedroom, right? So you're aware of the problem. Okay, I need a TV, let's say. Okay, now you can do some research. Okay, which TV am I going to buy? So you go to Google, you go to Amazon, you start looking at reviews, right? This is the natural psychological process that we all go through when trying to buy something, when thinking about buying something. So you do the research, right? And then you're like, okay, I want to learn more about what Bruce has to offer. He's always in my timeline. He's always in my inbox. He's always posting his stories. I'm ready for this opportunity. I want to know more, right? So now they research. Now that they want to know more, they move into the intent stage. Now, okay, I've researched. I'm ready to make some moves. So you move from awareness to research to now intent. And the intent stage is a powerful stage. It is so powerful because this is where they are in that limbo. I might buy or am I still not be ready to buy? I might buy, am I not still be ready to buy? The ability of them to go and buy from you is going to be determined by how much deposit you have made in them. The more deposits that you've made into that account with that person, the more likely the scales are going to tip in your favor and they're going to buy when they go to the intent stage. Okay. So the intent stage will be like me getting in my car and driving to the barbershop because I'm aware I need to go to the barbershop. I'm aware I've done some research. I know that there's one 15 minutes away that's open till 10 p.m. So I know I'm going to make it in time. So I've done some research. I found where I'm going to go. I jumped in my car and I drive there. This is the intent. I'm in the intent stage now that I'm in my car driving to the barbershop. Why? Because I intend on getting my hair, my bald head shaved again and my beard done like lined up. I intend on doing that. Okay. The person clicks on your link. They intend on taking some action or else they wouldn't have clicked on your link. If you got somebody to click, then they intend on doing something. What they do, and this is, man, this is a whole other training that has to do with marketing, is dependent upon what they're going to see. Let me take a break here for a second off of all this and just talk to you guys real quick about the difference between a landing page and a website. A website, you have all these tabs at the top. You have home and about us and pricing and contact us and reviews and you can click, 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 and you can go all around and you read all this text on this page and you go to this other page. And then next thing you know, you did nothing. They leave your website. Why? Because a confused mind always says no. A confused mind always says no. And when you send somebody to a website that gives them the ability to do so many different things, they get overwhelmed and they're like, okay, I think I got what I needed from here. And they leave. Now, a landing page, it's like think of a website, it's like a machine gun. A landing page is like a sniper rifle. You have that sniper rifle and you got them in your bullseye. That's what a landing page is. When somebody lands on your landing page, they can only take one action. And guess what that action is? Whatever you want them to do because you built it. So there's no tabs across the top that says, home and get to and about us and pricing and opportunity and then no, none of that crap, right? There's a headline that speaks directly to them, right? Are you looking to make some extra income by working from home without leaving your 9-to-5? Bam, headline. That's what made me click in the first place. You got me. Then there's an image of you standing next to your Lambo or your paychecks every week. You want to get paid every week, right? And then it's just swiping things of your paychecks. Every week we get paid, right? And a picture of your team. Look at the community that we've built, right? And they're like, yeah, I want that. I want to make some extra income from working from home without leaving my 9-to-5. Yeah, I want to belong to a community of people who are successful. Yeah. And then there's a button. Click below and book a call to learn how you can join this team today. And that's it. Nothing else. That's all you give them. So either they're going to click and book a call and now you got them on the phone or on a Zoom or they're going to leave. But if you got them to get to that page because of the interest, And then the messaging on your page is congruent with the interest that they had to click on the link in the first place, then they're going to click and they're going to book a call. You understand that? Out of my tangent of websites, machine gun, brrr, and landing page sniper rifle. Let's go back to the sales thing because that's marketing. We're talking about sales. All right. I'm in my car. I'm driving to the barbershop. I'm in the intent stage, right? Or they click and they're on your website and they're watching the video, right? Or they're intending on taking an action. Meaning the scale could tip either to they will take the action or something's going to happen. Oh, I got to talk to my wife, right? And they're not going to take the action, but they intended. Or else why do they get in their car and drive to the barbershop? Why do they take the time to click on your link and start reading and researching and doing all that if they didn't intend on taking action? Nobody wants to waste their time just because they think it's fun. Nobody does that. By the time you're in the intent stage, you're ready to make moves if it makes sense. When you're in the intent stage, you are ready to make moves if it makes sense. So this is where you're actually having a conversation with somebody about their credit. Doesn't mean that they're going to buy today, but they intend on taking an action, or else they wouldn't have selected a time to speak with you or texted back and forth with you a couple times, giving you their phone. They wouldn't have done all of that if they didn't intend on taking action. So I'm in my car, I'm driving to the barbershop, and I get to the barbershop and the parking lot is filled. And I walk in and every barber has got some dude on their chair and there's only standing room in a barbershop. What do y'all think I'm doing? Think I'm going to stay there and I'm going to wait? No. I'm going to jump in my car. I'm going to go home and I'll say, I'll come back another day. Clearly this barbershop is great. I'll come back tomorrow or I'll make an appointment, but I'm not getting my beard done today and I'm not getting my shiny head shaped today because I'm not about to wait until all these barbers are ready. So you see, just because I was in an intent stage, y'all swore I was going to buy because I was in my car. I did the research, right? They're open. They're here. I jump in my car and I leave and I drive and I park and I walk in. You would swear I would have bought, but I walk out of that barbershop because all of the stars didn't align. All of the circumstances weren't right for me to purchase yet. But if you've captured me, then guess what? You're going to nurture me until I'm ready to make an appointment and not have to wait or come back with a little bit more time and actually sit and wait, right? Have some good conversations at the barbershop. But I wasn't ready to do that tonight. Understand this. Just because they are going through these stages, it doesn't mean they're ready to buy. That's why you nurture them until they are ready to buy. Do you know who makes the decision to buy? They do. You cannot control whether they say yes or no. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. So at the end of the day, you can do the absolute best. But unless that person, the one who is in total full control, is ready to take their credit card out of the wallet and say, here you go, they're not ready to buy. They have the intent. They got in their car. They drove to the barbershop, but they weren't ready to buy. Okay? So from there, from the intent stage, they actually make a purchase, right? And that's where they actually buy. And my next slide is going to talk about the actual sales process. How do you get somebody to say yes? How do you get somebody to pull out their credit card and say, please, please take my money? We're going to talk about this here in the next few minutes, right? But nobody makes a purchase without first intending to make the purchase. You don't accidentally trip and fall on credit repair. Like, you make a conscious decision to buy that. You make a conscious decision to do that. So now you purchase. This is like the great part of the buying cycle is when somebody finally buys, right? They booked a call. They met with you at Starbucks. They were in your DMs back and forth. And they're like, sounds good. Sign me up. Here's my card. Or you send them the link and then they go and they sign themselves up, right? Great. They made a purchase. I don't need to spend so much time in a purchase stage because that's very self-explanatory, right? I sit my butt down on the barber chair and they take care of me. Great. And here's your money. Here's your tip. And I purchased. Not going to spend time there. Somebody made the purchase. They enrolled for credit repair. They enrolled in the debt help program. They enrolled in whatever you're trying to sell them, right? They bought the thing from Amazon. They would not have done that without first intending on doing that. And they wouldn't have intended on doing that with you or with that place or at that store without first knowing about that place, about you, or about that store through research. And they wouldn't even have bought it if they didn't even think they needed it, if they weren't aware of it. Y'all see how this works? you always go through every single one of these stages. Awareness, research, intent, purchase. Great. But it doesn't end there. The next stage is the best stage. It's nirvana for a sales cycle. It's the advocacy stage. Okay? It's where I leave the barbershop and the first thing I do is I text my brother and I tell him, hey, dude, the next time you need to get a haircut, you got to check this place out. Advocacy. It, most companies stop at the purchase. They stop there. Oh, you're bought. Great. On to the next one. Where is the next one coming from? Referrals, y'all. That's what advocacy is. You get your clients to give you referrals. That completes the buying cycle. That completes the sales cycle. Okay. It's when somebody signs up, you send them the link, they sign up for your credit repair program, and then you say, who else do you know that could potentially benefit from better credit? You know anyone? All you have to do is ask. You have not because you ask not. Are you asking for referrals? And if the answer is no, why not? Guess what? The worst that they can do is say, no, I don't know anybody. Which is the same that you would have gotten if you hadn't asked. So you're not worse off if you ask and they say no than you are if you don't ask. So you got literally nothing to lose in asking for a referral. Why? Because the worst they can say is no, which is the same exact thing that you had if you hadn't asked. Now, what if they say yes? Yeah, actually, my brother, he's got jacked up credit too. Let me give you his number. 2-for-1, baby. Bam, bam. Right? And you need to ask for referral. Listen, the best time, in my humble opinion, to ask for a referral or to ask for a review is at the time of enrollment. The best time to ask for a referral or to ask for a review is at the time of enrollment. Why? Because that's the most excited that somebody has ever been to work with you. Excited to the point that they took out their credit card out of their wallet, typed in those digits and said, buy now. The most excited they have been is at the time of purchase. It's not when you got 28 things deleted off of their credit report. It's not when their credit score went up to an 890, which doesn't even exist, right? That's not when they're the most excited. That's great. And you should ask for referrals then, but not at the expense of asking them at the time that they signed up. Because that's when they're most excited. They're not taking out their credit card and paying you again when you take 20 things off their credit. They're not taking out their credit card and paying you again when they credit. No, they're not. Like, they're excited to the point that they trusted you with their most valuable asset, which is their money. The same thing that they use to put food on their table, they're giving to you. Do you guys see that? Asking for referrals at the time of enrollment is, in my humble opinion, the best time to ask for them. Because that's when you're most likely to get them, right? Especially if you incentivize them to get it. Tell you what, if you give me like 2 to 3 phone numbers, I'll knock $50 off of your enrollment fee. Just give me 2 to 3 numbers of people that you know. And now you incentivize them for referral? Man, talk about a slam dunk, right? You can incentivize them. Now, you know what? Yeah, you lost $50 on this one, but you gained $239 on these other 3 here that you would not have gotten from him if you hadn't asked in the first place. Come on, guys. You're right. Think about it. If you're not asking for referrals, if you're not incentivizing for referrals, why not? Maybe it's because you didn't think about it. But guess what? You're here investing your Thursday night in yourself and you're learning something that you might have not known before, right? And sometimes you may have already known, but sometimes it's not about learning more things. It's about being reminded of the things you already know. And I'm hoping that I'm able to do that for you guys tonight, right? Either teach you some more valuable things or remind you of some valuable things that you already knew that maybe just got forgotten in the back of your mind sometime because we got so much going on in life nowadays, right? So this is the buying cycle. Right? Awareness, research, intent, purchase, advocacy. Great. This works. This literally happens every single time a purchase is made. All these things happen. And remember earlier I said, some people go through this whole thing within an hour, right? Like I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm scrolling through Facebook. I see an ad that reminds me that I have bad credit. I'm like, oh crap. I do got bad credit. No pun intended, crap. And I'm like, I click on the ad, right? And now I'm doing research on this company. Huh. Look at all the reviews.
Dang.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I like them. Yeah, let me book a call. Intent. Yeah, well, looks like they got some time 30 minutes from now. Yeah, let me book a call for then. They call me, right? So I just went from awareness to intent. I'm aware of the problem. I click to research. I click to book a call, intent. They call me. They're having a conversation with me and I purchase because they sold me. Okay. And then they ask me for a referral. They tell me to get $50 on my enrollment if I give them three more people. Yeah. Duh. No brainer. Hold on, bro. Let me text you right now. And I just saved myself $50. And that all happened within an hour. Okay. That all happened within an hour. Doesn't always work that way. And I'll be the first one to tell you. I cannot tell you how many people sign up for our program and for our services that have been in our email list for over a year or months, right? But we capture them in the awareness stage, or we capture them in the research stage, and we kept them. Well, how do you capture them? Well, you need to have some form of getting their contact information, main email, phone number, or just name and email. This is called your list. You capture their information so that you can nurture them. If they are aware that you can help them and you're nurturing them in their inbox, in their newsfeed, in their stories, always providing value. Providing value, meaning making deposits. At the time of withdrawal, you can go in and make that withdrawal because you made the deposit.
All right, y'all. I hope you caught those nuggets. If you're still out here only talking to people ready to buy, you're hustling backwards. The real game is in capturing leads early, nurturing them, and building trust. If this episode helped you, do me a favor. Share it with someone else in the game, drop a review, and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss the sauce. I'll catch you on the next one.